Good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. We hope everybody's doing good, and I hope you had a good week. It was a pretty week this week, and kind of hot, but I hope all of you had a good week. We had a great Sunday last Sunday. I had one little girl come to the Lord, and the children did a great job on their children's program. But we just hope you're having a good day this morning. So let's go to the Lord, and we'll get right on into our message this morning. Father, we just thank you once again for this opportunity to be able to come and share your word, Lord, over the airways. We thank you, Lord, that we can offer this to people that may be shut in and not able to get out. Some may be sick and afflicted this morning, not able to make it to church. Others may be traveling, maybe be on vacation or somewhere and just come across us on this radio station. But Lord, we just thank you for those that do listen. We just thank you for that opportunity. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just speak through us this morning, your word, that it will never be our words. Lord, we know we are so unworthy. Cleanse me of my sin and my unrighteousness, anything that would stand between me and you this morning or would hinder me from proclaiming your word. We pray that Satan will not be able to steal that word or snatch it away, but that, Lord, that it will be alive and real, and that Jesus will always be uplifted so that he can draw all men and women, boys and girls, unto him as we give you the honor and the glory for it. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, this morning we're going to be looking over in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read the first 13 verses as we think about this morning, escaping the corruption of the world. Now think about that just a minute. You know, when you look at what all's going on in our world and we see so much corruption in our world today, how in the world can we escape it? How can we help our children to escape it? How can we help our grandchildren to escape it? We see that Peter says he's going to remind them, and he's going to continue to remind them and stir them up of the things that they need to be able to escape the corruption of this world. We were discussing this in our discipleship training class last Sunday night. Mr. Jimmy Johnson teaches our discipleship training class, and he was talking about how that it seems that when you look around at our world, every part of our world, it seems like everyone that's in any group or anything that's in control of anything seems to be corrupt today and seems to be have corruption within it. And when we look at that, he named several things, and you know, he's exactly right. It seems like everything that's in control and controlling our world today, we find corruption after corruption after corruption. We find evil after evil after evil in those things. So what are we as Christian people supposed to do? You know, how are we to escape that corruption? How are we to escape this evil that we see in our world that is so prevalent? It doesn't make any difference what organization it seems like that you look at today. It doesn't seem like what group that's ruling in our nation today, you know, whether it be our justice system, whether it be our politics, whether it be our schools, whether it be our universities or our military or whatever it may be. It seems that every time we turn around, there's something being uncovered that is corrupt and evil within those things. So how are we then to escape it? Well, Peter addresses that in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. So let's read and see what he says. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power, he hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promise, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in this world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not neglect to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in the tabernacle, to stir you up by the putting you in remembrance. So we see here that Peter is telling us what? He's saying, look, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, in other words, what he's saying is as long as I am alive, then I think it's my job to stir you up and to keep you remembering how you can overcome the corruption in this world. What it takes in your life to overcome the corruption of the world. Now, he begins with his salutation, identifying himself and that he is an apostle and also a servant of Jesus Christ. And he says he's writing to other Christian people. He says to others who have what? That same precious faith in God through our Savior, Jesus Christ. He gives them that greeting of grace and peace be unto them in their knowledge. And then he goes on to tell them what we must do to overcome this corruption in this world. How can we overcome it? How can we live righteously in such an unrighteous place? How can we be that light of the world? How can we be that salt of the earth that Jesus commended us to there in his Sermon on the Mount? How can that happen? How can these things happen? Well, we see that he tells us several things. We're going to look at five things that he talked about here in these verses. He used the word divine twice, but we're going to look at five divine things that I think that he says we must have. The first thing is we must have divine power. The second thing we must have is a divine nature. The third thing is that divine diligence to continue to move forward in the Lord. We got to have that divine presence in our life, those things that he mentioned. And then, what did he say? We will get that divine kingdom, that everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's go back and think about that this morning. How can you overcome the corruption in the world? It seems like it's everywhere that we turn, no matter what we think. You know, we'll think, well, this group's doing good or that group's doing good. And then all of a sudden we'll see some kind of corruption come out of it. And so how can we overcome that? Well, let's look at what he says first of all. Look at that verse 3 with me once again. He says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to the glory and virtue. So he says, first of all, it is through divine power. You know, there is no way that I can overcome the corruption of this world upon my own power. You know, you've heard me say many a time when I come and I preach the word of God, that I'm not here upon my own power, upon my own strength. There's no way that I can do this on my own. I've been pastoring 46, 47 years now, and I can tell you I've preached at least 3 sermons a week, and there's no way that I'm smart enough to come up with that many sermons over that many years. Now, I know I preach some of the same ones over and over, and that's some of the same topics. But still, when I go to God and when I seek him, there's no way that I can do it in my own power. There's no way that my physical mind is that capable. It's not, because I can't do that on my own. But it is through the divine power that God gives us. And it's the same way of living righteous in this ungodly world that we're in. The only way we can overcome and escape the corruption of this world, brothers and sisters, is through the divine power that God gives us. Now look what he says about that divine power in that verse. He says that he has given us what? All things that pertain to life and godliness through his divine power. In other words, God is saying to us, I have provided you every tool, everything you need to live righteous in this ungodly life. I have provided everything that you need to escape this corruption. You know, Jesus tells us, you know, that temptation, you know, he was the only one that was tempted without sin. But what does he tell us about temptation? He says he never tempts us something that's uncommon in all men. Everybody tempted as we are. And he says he always gives us a way to do what? To escape from that temptation. He offers us a door to escape. And brothers and sisters, it's only through the divine power that we have in God that we can overcome this corrupt world that we live in. And only through his divine power, we cannot do it in our own self and upon our own power. Matter of fact, he says in John chapter 10, verse 10, he talks about being the good shepherd and how that the hireling won't give his life, but he'll give his life. Then he talks about, I am the door. And then he goes on down into verse 10, and what did he say? He says the thief, he slips in through a window some way, and he says the thief only comes to do what? He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy the sheep. That's what the thief comes for, to kill and steal and destroy the sheep. But he says, but what? But I have come to do what? To give you not only life, but to give you life more abundantly. See, brothers and sisters, that's not something we can do with a physical nature. That's not something we can do in the flesh. That is something that comes divinely from God. That life more abundantly comes from the divine power of God. He is that good shepherd, and he gives us life and life more abundantly. He gives us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. Whatever you need. He doesn't leave anything out. There's no ingredient left out. All you got to do is get into his word. All you got to do is give your life to him. All you got to do is get on your knees before him and to pray and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. And God will give you everything you need for life. Not just life, but life more abundantly and a godly life even in this corrupt world. That you can escape this corrupt world through divine power. Well, let's look at the second thing he says. He says that what? It's by our divine nature. He gives us a different nature. He gives us a divine nature. Look what he says in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promise, that by these you might be partakers of what? The divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world through the lust. So he says, all this lust and all the desires that you have of the world, he says, that's because we are of a sinful nature. You know, the Bible says all of us are in a sinful nature. We are born within a sinful nature. We have a sinful nature. You know, do you have to teach a little child a lie? Yeah, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that as soon as they learn to speak, they learn to say mine, they learn to be selfish, they learn to lie? Isn't that amazing? How is that? That children learn that, you know, you don't have to teach them those things. Why? How can they learn to lie and tell you things like that? I know our kids growing up, there's been times that we'd watch them do something. We'd say, who did that? And they'd blame it on their brother, you know. Well, he did it. And we'd be seeing them do it. And so who taught them that? You know, we never told them lies. We never lied to anybody in front of them or did anything. We didn't teach them how to lie. It's because of that, what? That sinful nature that we are born with. But if we're going to overcome the corruption in this world, then we've got to have that new nature. We got to get rid of that old nature. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 says that we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And whereby that nature, what? The children of wrath, as others were. But then in verse 4 of that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says what? Ephesians chapter 2, he says, but God, who is rich in his mercy, for what? For his great love wherewith he loved us. What did he do? He cleansed us from that sin. And he goes on down in that Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and he talks about how that we are what? Saved through faith. We are saved by grace through faith, not a work that any man should boast. So he says that God, what? We are all born in that sinful nature, that nature of wrath that he called it there in Ephesians chapter 2. We're all born in that corrupt, in that conversation that we fulfill the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and the desires of the mind. And he says we're all children of wrath. We have that nature, that evil nature. But guess what? God loved us that he wants to give us a new nature. And this is what he's saying there in verse 4, that we may be partakers of a divine nature, that we are given a new nature. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, what did Paul tell us there? He told us that what? That if a person be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. He has become a new creature. All the old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, because he is a new creature in Christ. And because he is that new creature in Christ, guess what? He's got that new nature that we're talking about here. See, our old nature can't overcome and escape the corruption of the world. Our old nature wants us to be right there in the middle of that corruption. Our old nature wants us to be a part of the desires of the flesh and the desires of the heart. And we want to follow after the desires of our evil mind. And we fall into the corruption of the world. But he says, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, praise be to God, we can have a new nature. That sinful nature is removed because God loved us so much that he gives us that new nature, that no longer are we of that sinful nature. So we see, how do we escape the corruption of the world? First of all, it's by divine power, not our own power. Number two, we get a new nature. Our old nature is to stay in that corruption and even to be a part of that corruption. And then the third thing he talks about is what I call a divine diligence, the divine diligence that we must have. Look what he says there. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So listen to what he's saying here. Now, I know I love that song, Christ Alone. He is. That's all you need to be saved is Christ. There's nothing else that you need but Christ. But here he says, to our faith, we need to add some things. See, our faith sometimes will fail us if we don't have these other virtues, if we don't have these other things in our lives to carry us through in our Christian life. We got to diligently have that divine diligence to look and to add these things to our life. Now, you've heard me say it time and time again over the radio that what? That the devil, he's into doing what? Dividing and subtracting. But God is into what? Addition and multiplying, right? God always wants to add to us and multiply us. The devil wants to divide us and subtract from us and to take away from us. So here, this is what he's saying. He says, to your faith, you got to add some things. You got to add a little more ingredients. If you want your pie to come out right, then you got to add more than just one ingredient. If you're cooking an apple pie, you can't just put apples in there and expect to have an apple pie, do you? You got to have the crust. You got to have the syrup. You got to put a little cornstarch in there and cook those apples down and bake them. There's some things you got to do to have the whole pie. Well, faith is where we begin. But our faith, we've got to add. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm saying now, Christ alone is enough. That's all we need. But for us to have what we need, we got to diligently seek out these divine things. So what does he mention? He says there's several things that he mentions here. The first one he says is add to our faith what? Virtue. Now, what is virtue? When you talk about somebody is virtue, when it talked about in Proverbs 31 about that virtuous woman, that her price is far above rubies, what kind of woman is that? Well, virtue means that we have some morals about it. It's to be morally fit. It's not conforming to this world, but it's conforming to the right ideas and following the right ideas and keeping ourselves on track in the moral things of this life. Now, when we look around in our world today and we see the corruption in our world today, I think every one of us would say without a doubt that we are in a moral decay within our nation. I mean, it's terrible to look at where we're at in our nation. You know, pornography is still the number one money-making of all the TV programs and everything. Isn't it sad to think that? And now we have internet, now we have telephone, we have these things, the moral decay that we see taking place. You know, when you start a lying abortion, and we've been killing these babies for so many years and 30,000 a day, and then we wonder why, you know, our children are killing other children. Listen, you know, the moral decay. We don't respect life. We have no morals. Nobody has any morals. Everything goes. I mean, even some of the TV commercials will make you blush today, much less the TV shows that are on. Where is our morality? Where is our virtue in these things today? Where can our children find? No wonder they're falling into the corruption of the world. If we're going to escape the corruption of the world, then we've got to be virtuous people. And it says that woman in Proverbs 31, her price is far above rubies. Listen to me. We need some virtual mamas and daddies. Now, I know Father's Day is next Sunday, and we'll probably be getting on those fathers pretty hot and heavy, but I am a father. I am a grandfather. I am a son. I'm a child. My daddy's still living. Listen to me. We need some virtuous men. We need some virtuous women. We need some virtuous youth. Some virtuous older children. We need people who are morally fit. And you got to add to your faith. If you're going to escape the corruption, you've got to have that virtue. He says to add to your virtue what? Knowledge. Knowledge about what? You know, I tell people all the time that our children know more today than we ever knew. More about some things that are good and more about some things that are bad. But the bad thing that I see happening, brothers and sisters, that even though our children are learning things and gaining knowledge more and more every day, yet they're more and more immature. I've never seen such a time. 30-something percent of 18 to 35-year-old men still living at home with mom and dad. Isn't that amazing? You know, where's our maturity? Where's our maturity? He says we got to have knowledge, but it's not knowledge of the things of the world. We got to add to what? Add to our faith, virtue, to that virtue, knowledge. Now, what knowledge are you talking about? You go back up into verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. See, brothers and sisters, we need a working knowledge of the Word of God. If we're going to escape the corruption in this world, then brothers and sisters, we got to know what's right and wrong. We got to know what corruption is. As the old saying goes, we got to know what truth is. It's gotten to the point that we've gotten it so shaded and gray that, brothers and sisters, the Bible says what? Good is evil and evil is good. Well, we got to have the knowledge and a working knowledge of the Word of God. If somebody asked you to find Amos in your Bible, could you do it? Could you turn to the book of Amos? Do we even have a working knowledge that we could find the Beatitudes? Could you find the Sermon on the Mount? Could you find John 3:16? Hopefully you could quote it. We got to have a working knowledge of the Word of God. We got to have a working knowledge of God and who God is and what God can do. Brothers and sisters, it's up to us. He says we got to have knowledge. Third thing he says, what? We got to add to that knowledge, temperance. In other words, we got to have that moderation. We got to have self-control. You don't know what's happening. You know why we got so many shootings. You know we got so many people committing crimes because people don't have any self-control. They don't have any temperance. They don't have any moderation. They can't abstain from these things of the world. If you want to overcome the corruption of the world, then you got to abstain from the corruption of the world. We got to have that temperance. We got to turn away from it. He said, add to that temperance, patience. What's the old fella say? Lord, I need patience and give it to me right now. Patience is not one of us. We need to learn to wait upon the Lord. We need to sit quietly and listen for Him and to wait upon Him. We got to add to that patience godliness. We got to be godly people. To that godliness, we got to add brotherly kindness. You know, how many times somebody opened a door for you? You know, I've had this knee surgery, and I've been real surprised how many people have opened doors for me and held the door till I could hobble on in the store and stuff. And I mean, young and old, and it has blessed my heart to see that. Are we in brotherly kindness? Do we have brotherly kindness? And the last thing he says is charity, which is what? Our love. Do we have love for one another? Do we have love to overcome this world by sharing the love of Jesus with them? Oh, brothers and sisters, if we're going to escape the corruption of the world, faith alone is just not going to be enough. We got to add that virtue, that knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, that brotherly kindness and that charity, that love to those things so that we can overcome the world. Well, let's look at the fourth thing. I know our time's running short. He says we got to have the divine presence of these things in our lives. Look at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus. But if he lacketh these things, he's what? He's blind. He cannot see afar off and forgotten. And he what? He has not even been purged from his old sins. You see that? See what important it is for these things to have that divine presence of these things in our lives? He said if we have the presence of these things in our lives, then we as Christian people will not be what? Barren nor unfruitful. You know, one of the biggest problems that I see in our churches today is that we are so barren and unfruitful as Christian people. You know, we're told, I don't know what the statistics is, I know years ago that it took about 36 to 40 of us Southern Baptists to win one lost soul to Jesus. Think about that just a minute. One lost soul. It took 30 to 40 of us just to win one lost soul. I don't know what the statistic is now. It probably scares us to death because we know our baptism has been down. But I just wonder this morning, did you lead a lost person to Christ last year? Have you led a lost person to Christ in the last 6 months? Are you barren? Are you unfruitful? He says if these things are in your body, if you have that divine presence, if these things are there, and I love this word, if these things be in you, and what did he say in verse 8? They must what? Abound. In other words, you can't just have them sitting in the back corner. You can't just use them every now and then. He says these things have got to abound in your life. In other words, that it's not hard for people to see your virtue. It's not hard for people to know that you know your Bible and you know what God's Word says. That people look at you and say, that's a man under self-control. That's a man of patience, godliness. That he loves people. He shows that brotherly kindness. If that abounds in you and people sees that in you, then he said, you're not going to be unfruitful. You're not going to be barren, but you're going to be a soul winner for Jesus. You're going to be showing people how Jesus is, and therefore escaping the corruption of the world, and not only you escaping the corruption of the world, but those that you share Jesus with, they too will escape that corruption as well. But he says, if these things are not in you, then he says, what has happened? You're blind. Satan has blinded you. You can't see. He said, you've even forgotten that you were purged from your sins. In other words, you've gone right back into your old way of life. Asked a guy the other day, he made a decision, he never came far. And I asked him, I said, well, is it real? He said, I reckon not. Listen to me. Was your decision for Christ real? If it is, then he gave you the divine power to live in this life, a godly life. He gives you a divine nature to overcome that sinful nature. He gives you divine diligence that you're going to seek after these other things. And for that reason, that presence is in you, that divine presence, that you bring forth fruit. You're not blinded. You hadn't forgot what God has done for you. You hadn't forgotten that you have asked forgiveness of your sins and you have lived that life in that divine way. And in doing so, you escape the corruption of the world. Look what he says on down in verse 10 and 11. He says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior. In other words, you get that divine kingdom. You get that divine kingdom. You get to enter into that everlasting kingdom. See, that's a divine kingdom. All these other kingdoms of the world, what? They're just physical. They're just fleshly. And what's going to happen to them? They're going to pass away one day. Isn't that what the Bible said? This whole earth's going to melt away. All these other kingdoms are going to dissolve. But guess what? The Word of God and His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It will last forever and ever. And brothers and sisters, if we escape the corruption of this world through our divine power, the divine power of God, we can't do it on our own. We get that new divine nature through Jesus Christ, through His saving us. We have that divine diligence that we add to our faith, knowing that we got to have virtue, we got to have knowledge, we got to have temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. When we know that we have these things and they abound in our lives, then we're bearing fruit and we're overcoming the corruption. We're escaping it. You know, by us bearing fruit, by us being soul winners, then that proves that, hey, We're overcoming the corruption of the world. We're escaping the corruption of the world. The world hadn't corrupted us. The reason Christian people don't become soul winners, I think, is because the world's done corrupted them. This whole world's done corrupted them. You got to get out of that world. You got to overcome that corruption of the world. And if we do that, then praise be to God. What did he say? We're going to enter into that everlasting kingdom, that divine kingdom of who? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this morning, what about you? Do you want to escape the corruption of the world? Maybe you're so caught up in the world, maybe you like it. Well, let me tell you something. You're not going to end up in that everlasting kingdom. You're not going to end up in that everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're going to end up in that devil's hell with him and all his followers. This morning, you can escape this corruption in the world if you want to. And the way is through his name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let us pray once again. Our time's up. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively today. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you'll give all of us that divine power that we need to overcome the corruption in the world today. Help us, Lord, to add to our faith those things that we need, that we'll have that new nature in Jesus Christ, that those things were bound, that we'll not be barren or fruitless, yet we will be soul winners for you, that we too can be in that wonderful kingdom with you one day. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.